Welcome to Touching People in Appropriate Ways, a program dedicated to the art of communication with your host and best-selling author, Peter Verleza. Each episode, we'll be talking about business, relationships, and everyday life with movers and shakers from all over the world. Learn what they do in their business and professional life to connect and touch people in appropriate ways. Now, here's your host, Peter Verleza.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Touching People in Appropriate Ways. I am your host, Peter Verleza. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing a longtime friend and colleague in the technology business, Joanna Sobrin. Joanna is the founder, owner, president, and CEO of MXO Tech, one of Chicago's few women-owned tech companies. She came to the United States at 11 when her mother immigrated from Poland. She didn't know a word of English. Joanna, thank you so much for being on the program. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
You are very welcome. So we roll in the same circles. I've known you for a few years and have been impressed from day one. But over these past few years, you have really done some spectacular things. And I know that you know that the title of this program is Touching People in Appropriate Ways. But before you get there, tell us a little bit about your journey. Where did you come from, and how did you get to this place?
Well, I always knew I wanted to start my own business. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I worked for another IT company, and I fell in love with technology and what it can do for a business, for people in terms of creating jobs and companies being able to grow their sales and operations. And I thought, you know, this was a good field. It was growing to get into, even though I'm not really technical. As a matter of fact, I'm probably the least technical person in my company. but I love technology, and I was able to hire people to help and make that dream come true for me. So it was really kind of came about with having a job that I was no longer passionate about. And I think I was 29 at the time, and I thought, well, if it's not now, it's not going to be ever. So I started MXO Tech.
So 29, that was like a year or two ago?
Exactly. That's how fast technology works.
Exactly. So what did you do before this? I mean, you have a very interesting story. And, you know, again, every time I hear it, like I said, we play in the same circles. Every time I hear your story, I, like, shake my head. I'm like, wow. What did you do before you got into this crazy world of technology?
Well, you know, I was born in Poland, and I came here when I was 11 years old. My mom actually was here already, and I lived with my father and sometimes with my grandparents and sometimes with neighbors. Mm-hmm. But my mom was filing for paperwork for me to come here. My sister and my mother were already here, and so it was a long period of time that I was waiting. I lived in a communist country. Poland was communist at the time, and life wasn't very easy. So coming here, this was truly the land of opportunity. And I think a lot of us, myself included now, who are spoiled here with all the options and all the gifts that we have here, I really cherished all those opportunities from the day I got here. And even though that wasn't easy for me either, that transition, you know, not speaking the language. I mean, I didn't speak a word of English.
Really?
And I don't think I realized when I was moving to a different country that they were going to speak a different language. You know, like, at the time, I didn't really think about that.
This may come in handy to know this language.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so that was a big adjustment. Having a new stepfather was a big adjustment. I'd actually never seen a person of color in real life before, only in books. So
really?
It was everything from, you know, in Poland at the time, everybody was Polish. This is a multicultural country where in Europe, and now that's changed, but at the time, everybody was just Polish.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a huge shock for me, and even to little things like coming into a department store and having all these selections of items, you know, brands and colors and aisles of things. You know, we used shampoo. We didn't know what conditioner was.
Right.
We didn't have all these different cereals and different colored gums. I mean, I remember if we wanted to chew gum that was purple, we chewed the end of a pencil stick that was colored to make it colorful. I mean, it was like all, you know, just the little things to big things. Everything was very different. That's how I made bubble gum, by the way. Now it just comes prepackaged and colored here. It was a lot of changes, but I really got to appreciate what was here and try to make the best of it. And I went through partial grammar school, and then I finished high school here. And I started to go to college. I actually didn't finish because I had to work. My parents were still very, you know, the blue collar. I mean, even though they had other careers back in Poland, here not having the language, you sort of have to come and do whatever work you can find. And so my mother, typical Polish community in Chicago, cleaning houses for a living and babysitting kids, and my father in construction. And so, you know, I saw how hard they worked, and I saw the opportunities that we had here and decided that that wasn't going to be me. I wanted to create a better life for myself and for the family that I would have one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a job at a company in the healthcare space. And I watched these two amazing women grow this business from really zero to over 100 employees and then selling it to some big corporation. And I watched them do this successfully, and I thought, you know what? That's who I want to be one day. I want to be a businesswoman. And then when every day they walked in through that door, it was like, you know, everything around me stopped.
Yeah.
And all I heard was the birds and the music singing along to that dream that I could have one day. And I knew that that could be possible here.
Interesting.
So that was sort of my inspiration, is working with that first company and seeing these two women and other people that were part of that company, and everybody took me in. That was the first time in my life I had kind of been in that, you know, corporate environment and seeing people who were successful and good looking and dressed really well. And, you know, I kind of never was really around that. So it gave me a lot of inspiration, and then, you know, kind of backtracking to then, getting another job at a technology company after this healthcare company sold, and learning a lot about technology and healthcare. That's when we decided to start the business. And one of our first clients was a big healthcare corporation. So I was able to mirror the two together, which ended up working out really well, and took it from there.
So you saw what you didn't want. Or didn't want any more of, saw what you wanted, and you went for it, and here you are. I mean, again, every time I hear your story, it just, I shake my head. I'm like, it's, you know, it's like, this is like a fairy tale story. So where are you now? Give us a little background of MXO Tech and, you know, kind of what the company looks like, kinds of things that you're doing, that sort of thing.
Yes. So right now we have 29 employees. So we kind of veer anywhere between, you know, 27 and 32 employees, depending on some of the projects that we're doing. But we're located in the West Loop of Chicago. It's a beautiful part of the city here, actually, where Google recently moved in and McDonald's is coming in. So we've been fortunate to have great space that we sublease from one of the big nonprofits, Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And we focus on helping small and medium-sized businesses. We still do a little business with a few large corporations, but we primarily work with in the SMB market. And we work on clients who are looking to use technology to grow their business. So it could be anything from, you know, the same thing that you and I do together and many of the other colleagues in our technology group. So from backup and disaster recovery to help desk support to security, but then we also mirror that with our custom application development team, which specializes in coming into an organization, doing a business process improvement assessment to look at how are they using technology to grow their business. And that's the key, I think, for a lot of business owners, you and myself included, is how can we use the efficiency of technology to grow our business, whether it comes to sales or operations or your leadership and production, all those things, all those departments and different areas have technology has a big impact on them. So we mirror the two services together, and both of our teams work with clients. And sometimes it's, you know, we work with a client for managed services only, and sometimes it's application development, but we're mirroring the two because we find that customers are relying on technology more and more, and that's just going to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because you started off by saying that you're not, and again, I'm paraphrasing, you're not technologically savvy, or that's not what you said. What you said was you're not the most technologically savvy person in your company. But interestingly enough, your perspective and the scope and breadth of your life experiences has gotten you to, and this ties the appropriate touch in, has gotten you to the point where you're able to go into you and or people within your company, because you're the driving force, and look objectively at what's happening and figure out where they want to be and go and put a solution together to get them there. That's interesting.
Well, I think, you know, that's a good point, Peter, because I think one of the things that I've gotten good at over the years is overcoming obstacles, mm-hmm. and figuring out how to create solutions instead of dwelling on problems. Right. And so I'm kind of always looking at how do I take a problem and turn it into something that's going to either help me propel my life or my business. And oftentimes I think about, you know, that saying everything happens for a reason personally in my life. And I've taken a lot of the things that I've had to overcome, you know, growing up and not having both parents and many times not having either parent around at all. And finding a way to survive and being hungry for a few days at a time and not knowing what to do is figuring it out. Yeah. And now I kind of take that same approach in the business, you know. How do we take this problem and turn it around and figure it out and make it work? I just feel like there's a solution to every problem, you know. And I was forced in my young life to figure things out very quickly on my own. And that's probably been a blessing for me long-term. Like I said, everything happens for a reason. I try not to look at that, the childhood time of my life as a negative anymore. I used to, and I don't anymore. Now I look at it as a positive because I don't feel like I would be where I am today and have the ability to problem solve and help people and think quickly on my feet and be the leader of this company had I not had the life that I did. And that same thing kind of transpires to my customers.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, again, there's no, it's not a coincidence that we're here together today, or at least on the phone doing this. So I don't want to leave things out like you are a best-selling author. You are the winner of many different awards. The most recent is a spokesperson for our mastermind group, a company that we both have been a member of for a long time. You did a fantastic job. You beat out six other very, very competent, capable, and worthy opponents, and you came out on top, and now you're the spokesperson. I mean, how did that feel? I mean, you're talking about full spectrum here from your childhood to where you are today. You lead one of the largest private managed service companies in our circles of influence. How does that feel?
Well, I have to tell you, I never imagined that I would walk away with that Porsche. I still pinch myself to this day, wondering how this happened. And, you know, Robin and Jeff, who run the program, encouraged me every year to run. And I think at one point, maybe I felt like I didn't deserve to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a true story, and I don't mind sharing, but I literally went to see my therapist about it and asked him to help me walk through this process of whether this is something that I can do, A, one, for myself, and B, for the audience,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to make sure that if I did this, there was a bigger purpose behind it besides the car. The car is probably the thing that I worried about the most because it's such a big ticket item. I mean,
right.
It's a Porsche. We know those are not cheap. So, you know, there was that big thing of, like, do I deserve it? I feel guilty. I should probably donate this car, you know,
yeah.
if I win it. So I had to put the car aside is my point.
Right.
And I told myself it is absolutely not about the car. And if I took the car away from this whole thing, would I want to do it then? And the answer was yes. And the reason was because I felt that when I joined Producers Club or when I got my first job or when I was introduced to my first client, people helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And while my family wasn't always there for me, strangers were, and neighbors and coworkers and bosses and mentors. People have always helped me, and even people who don't know that they've helped me have been my mentors and have inspired me in many ways. And I wanted to give back, and I constantly think about that, of ways that I can give back. I do a lot of different things with my organization. I use my company as a vehicle to give back in many ways, but this was one of them. So I wanted to get up there, and I'm not embarrassed to say, but I thought, you know, if I can do it, anyone can do it. And I wanted that to come through. And after the contest was over and I won, many people actually came up and said, wow, if you can do it, I can do it. And,
yeah.
and you know, you'll see this year, I think we're gonna have a lot more people running. And I'm not embarrassed or feel that's offensive in any way. I got up there on stage and wanted to tell a story to inspire people exactly in that way.
Right.
And you're right, the other six competitors or colleagues were amazing business owners. And I was very worried. I was very intimidated, especially by that tall Conrad guy. but you know, I think people love a compelling story.
Absolutely.
And they were a part of it with me, so that was great, and I hope I had the ability to inspire some of them to take the opportunities that are in front of all of us here in the United States and run with them.
I completely agree. You positively affected lots of people. Again, there were seven people up on that stage. Everyone deserved to be there. This wasn't
yeah.
a beauty contest. This wasn't a popularity contest. This was the harder I work, the luckier I get. I'm an overnight sensation, 5 years in the making kind of contest.
Right.
It has nothing to do with luck.
No.
And it has to do with hard work, plans, again, what I like to say, the appropriate touch, using your people, using all of your, you know, everything that you have, everything that's been given to you, your life, your history, you're very motivating, and I love that.
And you know, this is very like key for the part, the, you know, touching people in appropriate places.
Ways,
sorry.
I mean, it could be places, too. But
it could be places, ways, touching people in appropriate ways.
Yep.
You know, I think that's key, and that's such a great phrase, because at the end of the day, whether it's like sales or client retention or employee retention, or even, you know, friendships and people all around in your life. It's all about how you touch them personally and emotionally. You know, it's not about money. It's not about the car, material things, but it's really how you impact people. Mm-hmm. And that's key. And I think that that's where if you come into anything in life, looking at how you can impact people, how you can help them, they will give back to you 10 times.
Absolutely. It's, you know, you and I have heard the same dozen or so expressions. One of my favorites is give without remembering and get without forgetting. Some monk, we heard it at High Point by Dr. Nito Cubain, and I love that. That is how we should be treating one another.
I couldn't agree anymore.
Yeah, not always looking for the handout. So where is this all taking you? Where do you want it to be taking you? Where are you going from here? What do you think? Have you thought about that?
Well, I've been thinking actually on the topic of making a bigger impact. I've been thinking of ways that I can continue to use this organization as a vehicle because, you know, you need the means to be able to help in a big way, and it's how do I do that outside of just growing a business to generate revenue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been doing it in some ways already by hiring folks through various programs here in Chicago that give opportunities to people from diverse areas, hiring people who need an opportunity to grow in a certain field, doing speaking engagements for other entrepreneurs, especially women who need some of that encouragement, because women in technology is still a small percentage. And you know, really it's kind of looking at how can I continue to grow, inspire people, impact them, and touch them in ways that they can make a bigger impact on this community and even the world, you know. But I haven't figured out what it is yet. I've been praying about it quite a bit.
Cool.
But in the meantime, on a smaller scale, I want to continue growing the business and the leadership team that I have here. I've been blessed. I have an amazing team. We have very little turnover, and the people that work here, some of them came when they were younger and have been here for 4, 5, 6 years, even 9 years, and have grown a lot and have helped this business grow. So I'm going to continue focusing on them and the overall company and our customers here in Chicago to help people with their technology. So that's probably the smaller side of things.
Cool. All right. But
still waiting for the big answers.
Yeah, exactly. But you have you have the framework in place. It's pay it forward. It's a great plan, and I love it. I no one else would know, but I visited you a few weeks ago, and the environment is a great place, and it feels good, and everyone seems to be working together. I mean, I use metaphors and analogies all the time. It felt like it was one big boat. Everyone was in the boat, and everyone was oaring at the same time, and it's really a great feeling. And you know what they say about the culture of a business. It comes from the top down, not bottom up. And
that's
you
right.
Sit up there. So,
or as Robin says, the bottleneck is always on the top. Could go that way too.
She also says that the head of the fish is the stinkiest part, or something like that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So I always think about those sayings at times. Like, am I the stinky one, and am I the bottleneck?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I'm always checking myself not to be that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. So.
Do you have do you have a favorite quote? Do you have something that you live by that you keep going back to, or quotes even?
Well, I do have one by Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. And I work really hard at being myself because I think we all have our unique abilities.
Right.
And we should value those, treasure those, and continue to grow those different unique abilities. And so I try to inspire my people to be unique and use their passions and skills to their fullest, and same with myself. But that can be very difficult to do at times because you get a lot of outside influences of things should be like this, you should act this way, you should do this, this is how you run a business, this is how you are a successful mother, this is how to be a great friend. You know, constantly that feedback is coming in from everywhere, and including, you know, marketing and all those things where our heads get trashed with information that causes us not to be ourselves. And when we're ourselves, that's when we're the best. I really like that quote for that reason.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that you say that because it's the one thing that, it's really the only thing that sets us apart is us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, you and I.
Yeah, there's
the
nobody else like you.
Right. Exactly. Thank God. thank God there's nobody else like me.
There's nobody else like Uncle Peter.
I have a new nickname now from that whole thing, which I'll have to tell you about. All right.
Can't
fine.
Wait.
I'll share it right here. Mr. Peter Pants.
Mr. Peter Pants. That's a good one. That's perfect.
That's a good one.
You see? Yeah, absolutely. That's because you're unique, and that's what makes you great.
That's everybody. Well, you do a very good you, by the way. You have got
Thank
that down.
Thank you. I don't know how to do anyone else.
Exactly.
So
you
that's
got
good
that
news.
Down.
I don't have to work very hard at it. But I do. I really encourage people to be themselves, and I find that I sometimes don't understand the reasons for my actions in my business. I will do things in a unique way, and people don't always understand why or how, but it produces results for me, and it creates success, and so... And I feel comfortable doing it, and that's when I feel the most passion comes out, when I'm doing what I love.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it the way I want to do it. And the results are always successful for me when that happens. But it's hard to not get those outside influences of how things should be done. So, yeah, so that's really important.
And one of your unique qualities also is, I think, is doing what you know that you should be and want to be, but really for the benefit of everyone. There aren't losers. You're doing the right thing for the right reasons, your way, and you have a right to do that, but everybody's a winner and everybody benefits from it, and that makes it really powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. So we are we're nearing the end. I'm going to ask you for what I call an elevator pearl. This could be as tall a building as you want, 2-story or 10-story. And just a last minute, you're on an elevator with someone and they're looking at you and they're in total awe and they're saying, Joanna, just give me a pearl of wisdom, anything. This is the Joanna elevator pearl. What would you say? What would you impart on someone who asked you to do that?
I would. Is this advice for them or?
Yeah. Or any anything. Give me a. This is them talking to you. Give me some Joanna-ism, some pearl of wisdom.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I told my 11-year-old daughter Hannah yesterday. Success is in preparation. So go do your homework so that you get all A's and B's on your report card. Really, I think that what I've noticed over the years is that when you practice and you prepare, you can be successful at anything.
Yes.
It's not being lucky, and some of it is being at the right time, at the right place,
yeah.
But being there is the key to be prepared and to practice whatever it is that you're doing that you're trying to get good at,
yeah.
And you will never fail.
That is, you know, I made a joke earlier. The harder I work, the luckier I get. And
that's right.
I'm an overnight success, 5 years in the making. It's got nothing to do with either of those things. Success is all in the preparation. I love it. Great advice to your 11-year-old and to the person on the elevator.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate you having me. That was really kind of you.
You are very welcome. So actually, I'm going to ask you to show yourself a little bit of love and tell people how they could find MXO, how they could reach out to you and or engage your company.
They can contact me directly, and my cell phone is 630-205-0433. That's the best way to get a hold of me. I don't mind giving out my cell phone. People can always call me directly to ask me any questions, find out more about our company, or if there's any ways that I can help them.
Okay, cool. I assume that you're on all social media. I know you have a website. I'll be posting those on the TPIAW site. So anyone that wants to reach out will be able to do that. Joanna, I knew this would be fantastic, and it was, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for your time.
You are very welcome. I look forward to seeing you again very soon. Have a wonderful rest of your
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see your smiling face.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Touching People in Appropriate Ways with your host, Peter Burlezza. Download and listen to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Connect with Peter and learn more now about touching people in appropriate ways at TPIAW.com, where you can subscribe to this podcast and find social media links to connect. Until next time, thanks for listening to Touching People in Appropriate Ways.